Greetings and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. We have on the show with us today again Dr. Cornelius Hunter, a graduate of the University of Illinois, where he earned a PhD in biophysics and computational biology. In addition to being a fellow at Discovery Institute, he is adjunct professor at Biola University and author of some well-known books such as Darwin's God, Evolution and the Problem of Evil, Darwin's Proof, and also Science's Blind Spot. We had Dr. Hunter on the show recently to talk about junk DNA and the ENCODE project and its implications for evolution, especially since he's been talking about these topics on his excellent blog, which I highly recommend to ID the Future listeners. It's darwins-god.blogspot.com. And at the end of our last podcast, Dr. Hunter was saying that evolutionists don't like to allow their theory to be falsified. When the evidence actually comes out against their theory, what they tend to do is they tend to revise the predictions of their theory so that it kind of is put in an unfalsifiable position. And as we all know, or many ID the Future listeners probably know, for years, Darwinian theorists and evolutionary scientists have said that our genomes ought to be full of junk if evolution is true. And when the ENCODE project came out, or some of the major results of the ENCODE project came out last year, pointing in the direction of the vast majority of our genome not being junk, as you aptly said, Dr. Hunter, it's not absolutely conclusive, but it certainly is pointing strongly in that direction. A lot of other papers since then have corroborated those kinds of results. If it is true that the vast majority of our genome is not, in fact, junk, what are the implications for evolution? We talked about a talk given by a molecular biologist named Dan Grauer at the University of Houston, who said that if ENCODE is right, then evolution is wrong. So, Dr. Hunter, I guess what I want to come back to in this podcast is the idea that perhaps if ENCODE is right, evolutionists really aren't going to say that evolution is wrong. They're going to revise the prediction of their theory to try to accommodate the fact that really, no, the vast majority of our genome is not junk, and they're sort of going to rewrite history and say, you know what, I think we can try to accommodate this evidence after all. They don't want to let their theory be falsified. That's the last thing they want. So could you please comment on that for us?
Right. So the ENCODE folks have demonstrated, as typical of evolutionists, quite a bit of flexibility on their interpretations how evolution works. So they've already backed down off of that claim, and they're ready to say that, well, gee, maybe it's not 3/4 of the genome is functional. Maybe it's half. Maybe it's 25%. Maybe it's 15%. So they're all over the map on that, according to Grauer, at least. I haven't followed that literature closely. But on the other hand, we should mention that as Grauer was giving his talk, there's another paper came out of Australian lab providing some very interesting and persuasive evidence that the 5 to 10% of functionality that people like Grauer are claiming and looking for in the human genome is way too low. This is evidence that's over and above the ENCODE evidence. This is a different kind of evidence. It's a different kind of experiment, fairly ingenious experiment that they devised. And they came up with at least another 20-30% of the genome is showing very good signs of functionality. And that's just using their one particular method. Like I said, it's just the march of progress of science that we're going to find more functionality. There's other papers from recent years along these same lines. There's been other pieces of work that have shown functionality here and there for these various types of elements within the genome. So I do think it's a pretty safe prediction that some pretty high fraction of the genome is going to be functional, 50%, 75%, 100%. So I think ultimately the ENCODE folks and Grauer and all the different camps are going to have to accept that. And then it's going to be a matter of, okay, this was junk DNA that got its chance in the sun, so to speak, and converted and gained function. And it was an out-of-control copying machine. And, oh, by the way, it isn't designed very well anyway. No tidy-minded engineer would have ever done this. This is really an inefficient way to do it. So all those sorts of metaphysics will continue to be attached to the results as we slowly grasp what's actually going on. This is so much of these commentaries are based on only a slight fraction of understanding. They're always ready and willing to give these interpretations.
So, Dr. Hunter, I'd like to talk about one interesting slide in Dan Grauer's presentation. It's slide 18, I believe, where basically I can describe this to our listeners. On the left side, he says, this is an intelligently designed dining table. And he has a picture of this sort of elegant and ornate, nice-looking table. And on the right side, he says, this is an evolutionary, functional dining table. And it looks like he has sort of a rolled-up cable that's sort of this wooden platform with a roll of cables on it. It's certainly not something that was originally designed to be a table that was being used as a table, even though that's not what it was originally intended to be. So do you think this is a reasonable way to test between intelligent design and evolution? And if not, what do you think he's getting wrong here?
Right. And if listeners didn't quite follow that, picture a box or something like that just set down and that's being used as a table. What Grauer showed on the slide was a wooden housing used for cabling. And it's a circular housing and it's set on its side. And you could set down your McDonald's lunch on that and sit there and have your dinner. So it can serve as a dining table, but it's not aesthetic. It's perhaps lacking in some of the functionality. You can't sit up to it very well in comparing that to a nice dining room table. So what you're getting at there is some profound non-scientific judgments. There's metaphysics involved. There's aesthetics involved. And it's not that anything is wrong with that. I mean, the history of science is rife with those sorts of judgments. But we need to call those out. We need to be aware of them and not just allow those to slide by as though they're empirical science and with the same epistemological confidence as an observation of gravity, as an observation of an apple falling to the ground or something like that. It is good that Grauer put that out there. I'm sure that few, if any, evolutionists in the audience realize the profound non-scientific nature of the slide and really what they're buying into there. It's a great slide to symbolize what evolution is all about. And you get these things all the time in classrooms and off-the-cuff conversations, presentations like this, just all the time. And then you'll see them in textbooks and popular books as well, perhaps more carefully couched, sometimes not. But it runs all through the history of evolutionary thought, long predating Darwin as well. It's the kind of judgments that we make, and they're not always wrong. But they're just not empirical science, and we really need to understand that.
So, Dr. Hunter, you think, just for the record, that in the long term, there is going to be function found for probably the vast majority of the genome. And so maybe you might call it a prediction you would make coming out of an intelligent design paradigm. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct, Casey. I'll definitely go on the record on that. Not to say I have 100% confidence. And also, I want to be clear that from a metaphysical perspective, from my personal beliefs, I don't have a problem wherever it lands. It doesn't matter to me whether it's 10% or 90% or anywhere in between or 100%. But just from a scientific perspective and just from the history of science and the history of what we found in biology, it really does look like it's going to be closer to 100 than zero.
Okay, great. Well, I always like it when people put clear and concrete predictions out there, and I think that's very helpful. So, Dr. Hunter, thank you so much for talking with us today about junk DNA, the ENCODE project, and intelligent design. We really appreciate your time. And again, visit Dr. Hunter's excellent blog at darwins-god.blogspot.com. I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2013. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.